appreciate your prayers and your attention for a little while. I need some help for just a moment. Called one of our young people last night and asked for that person to make this for me. It's a word, just one word that's on this sheet of paper. And because I'm so tedious and take forever to make my point, I thought maybe if I put that up there, everybody would see it and remember it because it's an important word. And talk about Thanksgiving today. That's a pretty good topic for a religious worship service. And this is Thanksgiving week. It's a uniquely American holiday. Other countries celebrate New Year's and Christmas. But nobody's got any, I mean, other countries have some variations of their own, but nobody's got anything quite like the American Thanksgiving. And I suppose that all of us have been taught what its origins are. The settlers who came to this country for religious freedom purposes had planted their crops, got a harvest, made friends with the Native Americans that they met, and decided that they wanted to thank the Lord for having had a harvest. And as part of it, they invited the friends that they'd made among the Native Americans. And at this time of the year, which is the end of the harvest season, they had a big celebration. Prominent in their celebration was practice of the Christian religion of thanking God for his mercy and goodness to them. It's gotten popular in our world today for people to kind of put down on. Well, about all those old practices back there. Folks speak against Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. I'm not a historian as far as understanding all of those things, and so I don't know. Maybe Miles Standish wasn't much of a guy. Maybe John Smith didn't behave himself like he should. But from my perspective, first of all, I'm glad that the American nation still wants to have a day to thank the Lord. Whatever happened in the past, good, bad, or indifferent, I wasn't there. I'm here, and I'm glad that our people recognize Thanksgiving. But also, our belief in what is happening on a day like today, another reason why it doesn't matter very much to me what the folks who study the actual history of this country say about it. You remember how they were? They had those buckles on their hats and on their shoes, and they had those blunderbusses. You know what a blunderbuss is? A blunderbuss is a gun, and the end of the barrel looks like a bugle. And everybody wonders how you'd ever aim that thing because you couldn't put the sights on it very well. But they walked a meeting with the blunderbusses and their buckles shined up and so forth. Thanksgiving. That's what we think of with the pilgrims. Well, actually, that wasn't quite how they dressed, but that's how they've been made to look in modern literature. Anyway, whatever they were, our belief in having a special time to thank the Lord goes far beyond that. And I want to talk to you about what it is, because its origins begin in the Bible. It's a time to recognize the blessings of God. And I'll start my topic, I need to say this, in this. I try each Sunday morning to have something fresh. Today's a little bit of an exception, because I have recorded the thoughts in this, and they're being broadcast on several radio stations and here and there today, and some more on Thanksgiving Day. So you may hear this again somewhere. I don't mind. Beans and cornbread aren't good till they've been cooked twice. So maybe they don't mind hearing some of it again. Let's talk about religion a little bit. Most religions in the world, practically all of them, are made up of being afraid of your God and trying to figure out what he wants and then give him a sacrifice of that. Well, since you can't talk to him, or at least he doesn't talk to you, really, you can go out and try to talk to him if you want to, but you're probably not going to get an answer back from him. Well, you do it by trial and error. Those people in the past believed that there were gods in the rocks, in the rivers, in the trees, things like that, gods of harvest and gods of the hill. And if you wanted to have a good crop and lots of rain and so forth, well, you make a sacrifice of some sort. You make your sacrifice and you get a drought instead. Well, you decide that's not what he wants. And so you try something else. And you remember how they used to do it in South America? Those Incas, where they'd catch the prettiest girl they could find and take her up on a platform and massacre her and throw the body down in a well down there. And if you could get a chief's daughter, that really was something, because that really pleased the gods for you to do that. So you'd have plenty of rain on your crop next year. Mostly trying to appease somebody. Well, you could call it the religion of bribery. You bribe your God into being good to you so that he won't destroy your family and things like that. And if you study the religions of the world, that's mostly what they are. Well, people who study those things tend to group the Christian religion in with that. And Judaism, the Jewish faith, is a vast mistake. It's a vast mistake because what we have is what's called a revealed religion. Wouldn't it be handy if you believe there's a God up there on the hill somewhere and you want to know what to do to make him happy with you? You had a book? And the book told you what he really wanted? Well, our God is more than on the hill, but here it is. He told us what he wants. In fact, he's a God who's holy. And he knew people had done wrong. Adam got us into that course of doing things. And he knew that there needed to be some way to atone for that. So he gave a law. And in his law, he told us what to do to atone for it. Same, go build a tabernacle. Go to the tabernacle and take a lamb and offer a sacrifice and so forth. And he set up certain times to do that and certain feasts to do it in. Well, I'll read to you what some of them are. The Feast of Burnt Offering, they got names for it. And the Feast of Peace Offering, and a Sin Offering, and a Guilt Offering. And all of these had special times that they're supposed to take place. Well, if you did some really bad sin, you could go to the priest whenever you needed to and take him a lamb and ask him to pray for your sins and you get forgiven. But there was one of them that he didn't put a time on. It's called Todah. Todah, and that's what that word is there in the Hebrew. And that's one I hope you will remember, because in a way, it's the most important of all the feasts that there were. And he didn't set a time for that, just whenever you want to, whenever you want to. And all these others that I read to you, they have to do with atonement. You've done something wrong, you bring your guilt offering, you bring your sin offering, you bring your burnt offering, and you get forgiven for whatever you've done. But this one, unique among them, was given to people who hadn't done anything wrong. Well, maybe they'd had their failures, but it's all cleared up. They're just innocent. And they come before the Lord and tell him, you know, life's been pretty good for me. The Lord's been blessing me. My crops did well this year, and my children are healthy, and I'm not under the control of any enemy. I'd like to just have a special time to come to you, Lord, and make a feast. And this feast is a feast of thanksgiving. It's not to get forgiven for anything. It's just to say, I love you, and I appreciate what you've done for me, and I want to be close to you. And the beauty of it was that you had the privilege to choose when you're going to do it. So here's how it worked. Somebody like you and me decides you want to carry out a Todah. The word literally means, well, thanksgiving. But it means more than that. It means praise mingled with thanksgiving. Praise not in the sense that, you know, you polish my shoes and I think it's a really good job and say, well, you're about the best shoe polisher I ever saw. Praise that's got honor to God in it, reverence in it, and respect. So it's more than thanksgiving, but it's reverence and honor. And isn't that what the pilgrims were doing? They were honoring and reverencing God, and they were thanking him for what he'd done for them. So our practice of Todah, well, it goes way back beyond whatever the pilgrims may have done. I hope they did it right for their sakes, but whether they did or not, no matter what anybody feels like they discovered about their failures now, it doesn't have anything to do with where we are, with our connection with the Lord. And here's how it worked. You decide you want to have a special time to just thank the Lord for what he's done for you. Not guilty of anything. Just love him and appreciate. Pick out a lamb. Tell your friends you're going to do this. Go down to the tabernacle or the temple in later years. And you involve the priest in it. He prays with you about it. And you sacrifice it and give the priest some of the meat. You take the rest home. And you do just what we're getting ready to do back here in a little while. You make a feast for your family and your friends, and you invite them all in. And we say, this is my family. We got it blessed. We went down in the tabernacle, and we had prayer. And we brought it home. And now we're having our special family time. This is a time to thank the Lord for what he's done for us. It's a Todah. Well, it's a prominent part of life in Israelite nation. And I'm thinking that that would have been a pretty good place to live. In Old Testament Israel, when the folks were serving the Lord, you know, he'd made a covenant with them. You follow me, I'll protect you from your enemies. I'll send the rain in season. Your crops will bear more than you deserve for them to bear. So there's gold and silver here, and there's wood to build things, and I'll help you find it. That'd be a pretty good place to live. In the Todah, they had, of course, the meat, and they also, part of the sacrifice was bread. Bread. Bread is important in the Bible because bread is a joint product. Man's work and God's blessing. We till the soil, then we put the wheat in the ground, and we do the can to protect it, and then we harvest the wheat. But God's got a part too. If he doesn't put in the rain, if he didn't put nutrients in the soil, our wheat won't grow to be what it is. And you know, that is a symbol of a whole life serving the Lord. There's a part for God to do and a part for us to do. When we are diligent to do our part, he'll always do his part. And the result of it is we sit down together one day with our friends. You ever smell bread when it's just coming out of the oven and got some butter right there beside it and maybe a little bit of homemade jam, and strangers walking by on the road will have a hard time keep on going from the aroma of it. Well, that's a symbol of the way the Lord intended our lives to be in walking with him. So that's how they did it. And they did it often. And it was important in their lives. For instance, Leah, she was Jacob's first wife. Remember Leah? Todah meant so much to her that she named her third son Todah. Now, here's the way that works. If you come from down south and you want to speak to a group of people, you don't say you. That really is a proper term, but you say y'all. Or if you're from New England, you say y'alls. Or you may say, yow's guys, even if they're not all men. But it all means the same thing. Well, the Jews were the same way. They changed that word a little bit in the way they pronounced it from Todah to Yehuda. And she named her third child Yehuda or Judah. And the word means Todah. It's this word right here. And you think that's significant? God's ways are too great for me to understand. I don't know how he plans everything that he does. But Revelation 5:5 says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Todah. The free will offering. Of all the offerings that there were, the one he put the greatest emphasis on was the one as a free will offering. You remember Melchizedek? You ever read about Melchizedek in the Bible? Having neither father nor mother, no age, no beginning, no end. I've heard folks say old Melchizedek is still living somewhere today. What a foolish thing. That isn't what he meant at all. He meant that this is somebody without the law of Moses. Just out of nowhere. God superior to Abraham because he served God without the law of a free will. And we have another priest today who's arisen of the order of Melchizedek. Not the order of Moses' law. The order of the free will offering. Do you see the beauty of what I'm trying to talk about? The Lord has great pleasure in people who are innocent coming to him and saying, thank you, Father. We did this together and it feels good. And I appreciate it. I'm glad for what you have given me. That's what this is talking about. Well, here's a scripture that the Hebrews used for their Torah. Leviticus 3:1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offered of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. It's a peace offering. It's just to come and tell the Lord, I love you and I appreciate you. Well, Leah, so long ago, she got that message. David got it. Saul got killed. Jonathan got killed. the Philistines took the ark down into their land. A bunch of time went by. Long story short, there came a day when it was time to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And David started out to do it. And he started out doing this in Todah. It is a feast of thanksgiving. He had some warbles along the road. He ran into some bumps. But in the final process, what he was carrying out was a Todah. He got it right, and he came back as a season of rejoicing for the whole nation of Israel to say, here is the symbol that God is in our midst, again, being our leader. Now, David did something else that was unique. He was the first to set in order the services in the temple, or in the tabernacle, as it was at the time. But they had their worship service like we do. You know how we do our worship service. We sing a while, and we pray, and then we might sing some more, and then we have preaching, and we pray. Well, they had that too, of course. But people do that. David changed it, and he changed it forever. He made it clear to the priests that their first and most important duty, not granting absolution for sin, it was to praise and glorify the Lord. Let all your services be open with praise and thanksgiving. That's what he told the priests. And there are a lot of psalms that are written because of that. One of them, for instance, Psalm 116. The scripture said, I found trouble and sorrow. Well, that's the human lot. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. And here's what he said. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And then he gives us the answer. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. So I came to the Lord and I was in trouble. And if I didn't have any help, I'm going to get in more trouble because I'm simple. You'll never figure this out by myself. When I came to the Lord and told him about it, he said, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and I realized I couldn't help myself. And whatever's happened is going to happen. And he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. The storm is over. Like those pilgrims, the crossing of the Atlantic is over. The summer's over. The work is over. The pumpkin pie and the turkey are out here on the table in front of us. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's a Todah. That's thanking the Lord for what his great goodness has been. The Psalms are full of them. And the Old Testament is full of them. So, don't get tired of it yet. What about you and me? The Old Testament prophets indicated that when Messiah came, all of those sacrifices that I mentioned would stop. The burnt offering, the sin offering, the other offerings that they had, they all would stop except the Todah. It still would go on, the thanksgiving. When Jesus was in the upper room, do you remember what he did? He instituted the Todah there among those the apostles who were there to be carried on by us forever. He took the cup and he blessed. I mean, you can't literally bless the cup. The cup is just a drink and it's in a vessel. That's not what it means. It means he blessed the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have given us this cup. And he meant by that literally this cup and the juice that's in it because we need it. Oh, but he meant more than that too. The fellowship and the forgiveness and the joy. And the comfort and the blessing that are all going to flow out of the great sacrifice that I'm going to make for people's souls. He took the cup and he blessed it and he took the bread. And when he did that, he was looking beyond what the folks had in the Old Testament. He was looking down to the work that you and I do every day. It's changed a whole lot since then. If some of those old timers could get here and see some of those front end loaders that our little children are driving today, they'd be astonished and wouldn't know what to do. But it's all the same thing. It's all work. It's all done for the same reason. Try to make a living. And what do you do with a living? You buy bread. Some of our folks make bread, and it's the same idea. God gives the increase, and we do the work. And it's shared. I can't tell you how delighted the Lord is when people share their lives with us. He's not a God that we need to try to figure out what to do to keep him from whooping on us like the pagans do. He's a God who wants to open himself to us and share with us, taste our food, and feel our sweat and our tears, and walk through the daily experiences of our lives. And when we do that with him through praying and through opening our soul to him, and then come back and say, "That was pretty good, Lord. Thank you for that." That's what he had in mind with Adam. That's what he wants to receive from you and me. Here's how Luke said it. Luke took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this," and divided among themselves. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them. And that word tota, translated into the Greek, it means Eucharist. Have you ever heard of the Eucharist? Well, that's what it's talking about. It's the old tota. It's the Thanksgiving Day that our ancestors celebrated here in this country. He said, "Take this and break it," and gave it unto them. He said, "Divide it among themselves." Well, I wasn't there that night. But I'm old now, and I can testify to you that I got my piece of it anyway. I wasn't there. The Lord gave me some of that bread. I've had a blessed life. The Lord has prospered the efforts that I've made in life in lots of ways, more than I deserve. Now, I've had to learn by hammering my fingers sometimes and cutting them up with saws and things like that. But it was good. The Lord went with me. He will with you too. That's what he wants to do in our lives. Well, let me take a little bit farther. This word thanksgiving, the great secret of tota, is that it's innocent free will. You choose to do it. The Lord has more pleasure in that than any of the other sacrifices, because you're giving it to him voluntarily. Well, the Nazarites. You remember anybody know what the Nazarites were? Nazarites were, Paul acted like a Nazarite for a while. Samson was a Nazarite. The idea was, usually for a year, you could say, "Now here's what I know your commandments are. But Lord, just of my free will, just because I love you, I want to give you something more than you command of me. I'm going to pledge myself this year." Oh, all right. I know a person who acted like a Nazarite. The Bible taught giving 10%. These folks made a purpose before the Lord. They started out in a business and it was rough going for a while, but they said, "Lord, we're going to give you 30%. Nobody said we had to, but we appreciate this chance that you've given us. We're just going to do it. 30%. Got old, came down to the end of their life. Never stopped. The Lord always blessed them for it. That's the way a Nazarite does. More than you need to do. And the Lord is pleased with that. In a way, it's the best one of all. That's what tota is. And so you think about that. It involves, it has roots that go into the noblest words that there are in our English language. Now, stay with me a minute. Generosity is linked to this feast of Thanksgiving. People who give only what they have to give never learn to be generous. But people who choose, just arbitrarily, "I feel so good, Lord. I got an extra sheep. Every one of my ewes had twins this year. Let's give one back to you. And I don't want to do it by myself. Get my friends here together. We're all going to celebrate. Here it is. Here's your sheep. And I'll sure thank you for it." The Lord's pleased with that. It involves generosity. You start living that way. The Bible talks about a couple of people who, the scripture said, had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I didn't know that word addicted was in the Bible till I started looking at that. And when you get addicted to heroin, well, it makes you feel a certain way. And then if you don't get it, you get sick. You get addicted to doing something for the Lord. It feels so good. It makes you want to go and do it again. It doesn't really make you sick. But if you go for a while and you're really an addict and you didn't get to do anything, we start looking for something to do for somebody, because I want that high again. I want that blessing. The Lord's pleased with that, is what I'm trying to tell you today. That has links to generosity and kindness. It has links to the strongest word in any language in the world, freedom, free choice. God wants us to serve Him with free choice, but if we can have free choice in the sacrifice that we give to Him, tied up with that is free choice in where we live, how we carry out our lives, the career that we carry out. I know God has plans for us. He takes into consideration what our thinking is and our feeling is. We share it. We do it together. He's not going to come down, tap you on the head. I have picked out for you Sue Smith, and you go marry her today. You don't have anything to say about it. You just haul off and marry her. It's not like that. It's not like that. You got something to say about it too. This is a partnership. We're doing this together. Living life together, Jesus and I. Freedom. Right to the ownership of private property is the root of all freedom, and it's in the Scriptures. It's implied in Toda. The concept that something is, I have control of it. So I have the privilege to withdraw it. Isn't that what Peter told Ananias and Sapphira? You had the land and it was yours and you could do whatever you wanted to with it. And as it happens, you chose to do the wrong thing. It's not the land that got you in trouble. It's lying to the Holy Ghost that got you in trouble. It's yours. It's yours. It's private. And you can make a choice. Isn't that beautiful? You can make a choice to give it to the Lord. And you see how it is? He didn't have to do that. He created you and me and everything that's here. But He, of His own free will, gave it to you and me to use largely as we want to. I don't think the Lord cares whether you drive a Ford or a Chevrolet. He wants you to be prudent in the way you spend your money. But it's up to you to a large degree. Whether you live on this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle, what you do has got a lot to do with it. Freedom. Right to the ownership of private property. Freedom of thought and freedom of conscience and freedom of speech. Freedom to the sanctuary of your own home. All of that is tied to this word Toda. Not just in my explanation of it. No, I mean deep in the meanings of the actual words themselves. If you trace them back to their origins, they go back to this concept that God gave us the right to give Him a free will offering. Now, one more thought before we leave all of it. Practicing Toda will actually bring out what Abraham Lincoln called the better angels of our nature. It will cause us to be better people than we would have been if we didn't live lives of thanksgiving. Revelation 19, I'm not a Revelation man very much, but maybe I can get something out of this one. The armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Fine linen, white and clean. Armies, He said. You go look for your armies today, and what do they got on? You will see any of them wearing white linen? They got on body armor, and they got on helmets, and they got all kinds of gadgets on their helmets, and guns here and guns there, and boots and all that sort of thing, because they're somebody going to try to hurt them, and they're going to try to hurt somebody else. You'd look pretty funny, wouldn't you, if you go out on that battlefield and you got on the whitest clothes you can find. Gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness, yield a rich fruitage never to cease. Sowing in meekness unto the Spirit bringeth eternal blessings and peace. Soon you shall gather, watch and now scatter, unto your life give diligent heed. What we are sowing surely is growing, that which we reap shall be as a seed. White garments, that strange armor to use against a spear point and a sword thrust, but actually it's the best armor of all. Best way we can go through life is to live clear and pure and innocent before the Lord, where we can practice Toda with Him, because when we do, He takes our defense. in reality, through the centuries, the only weapon, that offensive weapon that God has really given to his church is prayer. And that's enough. Because when we carry that out as he'd have us, he becomes our defender. So, I really don't know much about who those old pilgrims were back there. They're all gone now, of course. But whoever they may have been, I'm grateful our nation celebrates Toda still today. And that happens this week. And I hope that you will have the privilege to get together with some of your family members, somebody who loves you, share some time around a table somewhere, talk about happy memories. There'll be plenty of troubles to think about on Friday and Wednesday. Lay them all underneath the table on Thursday and spend your time thanking the Lord. I hope you have the opportunity to do that. I hope the Lord's blessings rest on your home. I hope that you and I will be faithful to live for him. And I thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.